Red Sox increased their division lead to 6 games on the Yankees last night.
There's a shot. ID drive, center field, backing up Jones, turning, kiss that one goodbye. He's getting noisy again. There's number 12. And the Red Sox take a 1-0 lead.
That is Abe O'Brien on Nesson. Mitch Moreland's early solo homer was just the beginning of a 5-3 Sox win in Baltimore. Andrew Benintendi added a 2-run double. Sox now 3-1 coming out of the All-Star break. They'll start Drew Pomeranz tonight. It's his first Major League start in almost 2 months. And football news, Patriots will hold their first practice of training camp on Thursday morning. And the new question is, will wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell be there? He missed all of last season with a knee injury, and now multiple outlets are reporting the team is shopping him in a trade, despite the fact that he'll be without Julian Edelman for the first 4 games of the season. Patriots have placed wideout Kenny Britt, Cyrus Jones, and special teamers Nate Ebner and Jonathan Jones on the PUP list, wide receiver Cody Hollister on the non-football injury list, and running back Brandon Bolden on the non-football illness list. And the Celtics have traded Abdel Nader to Oklahoma City for guard Rodney Purvis. The Green are now expected to waive Purvis, who has a non-guaranteed contract. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Live Nation. The Vans Warped Tour with Motionless in White, Asking Alexandria, The Amity Affliction, and more across 6 stages. July 27th, Xfinity Center. Tickets at LiveNation.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Listen live and check out all of our podcasts.
Critics acclaimed it as radio's finest production.
Available wherever and whenever you want.
Getting out of control.
On the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Hardy in this morning. It's 7:04. And did you read the entire Garoppolo article, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
There was one part of it, though, that, and you know, obviously I want to like Jimmy Garoppolo. He seems like an okay guy. He was a good soldier when he was here. But then I read one part of it that just kind of gave me the shudder. Almost the way that you said he didn't seem very smart wanting to move to the Seaport District when he practices in Foxborough. That seems like an all-time dumb decision. However, there was one section in it that made me kind of cringe, and it was this. Quote, in college, Jimmy and his friend Worm watched Entourage together. Every season, 3 or 4 times. And Jimmy never really related to Vinny Chase, the show's movie star protagonist. But now, he's got talk show hosts screaming about him in the morning, cornerbacks talking blank about him in the afternoon, and the paparazzi following him around at night. Brady and Giselle once organized a double date with Garoppolo and a model friend of theirs, but the relationship didn't work out. Quote, it's crazy to think about it, not expecting to be in Vinny Chase's situation, says Garoppolo. But I'm slowly turning into that.
It's on the West Coast, man.
Entourage, the ultimate in douchebag porn. There is nothing redeeming about that show.
I've only tried watching it for like a few minutes at a time. But of all the things in life that I don't get, that might be the biggest one.
Okay, all right. Any show that starts,
I don't get
any
it.
Show where they use the term "sweet kicks," bro. All right, no, I'm way out.
It's like one of the handful of times I've watched it, the final scene was like them on a private jet
With Kanye West. Like, whoa, dude, how awesome would that be, bro? And you're just like, all right, man.
It looks like an effing nightmare.
Yeah,
you're going to sit on a plane with Kanye West. I don't want to jump out.
Right. As he screams at you.
Oh, my God.
On top of that, there's like the term hug it out, bitch, I think came from that show.
Yes,
which
that's
is
right.
Wildly unforgivable. So, unfortunately, Jimmy G is
a... It's funny because I'm looking at a picture of Garoppolo, you know, shirtless with his bros around a Vegas pool.
You're right.
That's part of the article. Like, right. That goes right in line with all of it.
I mean, it's I just like, yeah, I wasn't expecting to be in Vinny's shape.
One of them has a stogie. Oh, my
God. But I'm slowly turning into that. Yow! Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You become the protagonist DB.
Okay. Wow. Right. You're the quintessential douchebag. Well, one guy that is definitely one of those is...
7 times 4. 21.
Yeah, that would be Ryan Lochte. A man who's not very good at math.
He was off by seven.
Not too many there.
7 times 4.
21.
Dad, do you remember when he tried to, like, copyright the term? Y-E-A-H? Like, the term, like, yeah?
Yeah.
But it was such a revelation when he said it for the first time, and all his friends said, what did you just
what
say?
What is this? Well, he has found himself in a little bit of trouble. And this might be one of the all-time great self-owns. Now, there are some people who go on Twitter and they'll, you know, say some big racist tirade or do something. I put something offensive out there. And that's what ends up getting them in trouble. In Ryan Lochte's situation, this is just being a complete and total dumbass.
Lochte for president.
That's my favorite one.
Well, of course it is. Hang on. Where's the one where he talks about how, like, mind-blowing it was that he discovered the term jeh? That is, I'll have to scroll through here somewhere.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth finding.
Okay, all right. Well, let me see. What is this? It right here? Is this the one?
What defines me, Ryan Lochte?
What defines me, Ryan Lochte?
Boom, mic drop.
I think he really knows what the word "define" means. All right. Well, I will find that sooner or later.
Probably part of that dating show that didn't go anywhere.
Oh, he had a dating show, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Let's set Ryan Lochte up on a date. That was part of it.
I think that was the name of it.
Date stuff. No, here it is.
How did I come up with the word Gia? I think it was, you know, I was just talking with a group of people, and instead of saying yeah, I said Gia, and all the swimmers were like, what the heck did you just say? I was like, Gia? And then they're like, what the heck was that? I was like, I have no idea, and I think it kind of just stuck with me.
He's married now. It's going to be a dad.
I imagine the conversation being a lot like Steve Jobs talking about the iPhone for the first time. You see, it doesn't flip or anything.
Whoa.
It's just, it's like, what did you say? No, it's just a screen that you touch.
What was this?
Yeah.
Who are you hanging out with that's blown away by someone going, yeah? That would be something that actually never happened.
Lochte for president. Cheers!
So Ryan Lochte, he's the best. So Ryan Lochte has been suspended 14 months by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency for receiving an intravenous infusion. Okay, so that apparently breaks any kind of anti-doping rules.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, and how did they find out that he had been taking this intravenous infusion? That's because he posted a picture of him doing it on his Instagram page.
Oh, yeah.
Just like said, hey, you know what? Here I am. And they said, you know what? We're going to suspend you. And he said, why? He goes, because you've been doing an infusion you're not supposed to be doing. He said, how'd you find out? And he goes, well, I mean, it's because you put it all over your social media.
The gram, dude.
It's on the gram. So have you been suspended? Of course you have. So he released a statement, which was written, which makes this great.
In crayon.
This is just called Ryan Lochte tries to read. You know, they had like Phelps versus Shark, you know, back in last
right.
Shark Week.
They should
have like Lochte versus English. Just to see if he could just sit there and read. Lochte versus literature. Or phonics. Lochte versus phonics. Yeah. Pronounce these words. Are you going to get half of them wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, you probably will. All right, so, Mike, is it right that we have... Okay, so he released this statement, but it's him reading it. Oh, he should have just tweeted out. Like, had his publicist or whoever he's got, who wrote this thing, should have just had them put it out in print.
Yeah.
And not have to read it. Do you have it, Dan? Okay, well, let's hear it.
On May 24th, 2018, I, along with my wife, Kayla, went to the doctor's office in Gainesville, Florida, where we received an IV infusion consisting of vitamins and including B12. There was no prohibited substances in the infusion. I received an inquiry from the United States Anti-Doping Agency about what was in the IV. I fully cooperated with their request. What I did not know was that even though I wasn't taking anything that was banned substances from WADA, which is a World Anti-Doping Agency.
This is a first grader's book report. I read a book, The Missing Piece. It was great. The piece was missing the part it needed. It was very, very sad until it was great.
I wasn't taking anything that was banned substances from WADA, which is a World Anti-Doping Agency. And there was nothing that I was taking that was prohibited on the list. Although,
is that him turning the page?
This makes Jacoby Ellsbury. Oh no!
Hang on!
Oh, there he is! Where is it?
Manja.
What a shock! He's here.
Manja.
An hour into the show. Here, how are you, Jermaine?
I'm going to get some water. It's not my fault you guys are right in front of the damn place.
Of course not. Of course. And the door was just there, so you decided to open it.
Yes.
I understand. I got to put it down. It was exactly 1 hour and 11 minutes on Wiggy's first show in the studio.
Yes, I had to come in here and give all three of you guys the bird. You know what that is.
I
was going to come in here and slap Fred on the back of the head, but unfortunately he's not here. So
what is this bird you speak of? I don't understand your street speak. You're so much from the hood. I don't understand what you're saying to me.
I'm bagging out French. All
right. You don't keep it so real for me. I don't get it. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Jermaine, I know you can do back in the studio in a couple minutes. You got a lot of talking
in a couple
to do.
Hours.
I just want to make sure that we're not keeping you away from anything.
Songs, go ahead.
How many minutes an hour do you guys actually speak?
I don't know. I don't count the minutes.
How many songs an hour? How many songs an hour?
I prefer to talk more, but how many songs an hour? Play
eight.
Music.
Just say it.
Is it eight?
You play eight songs an hour?
You guys are all from the music world, so you should know that.
Yes, and I knew that eight songs an hour usually meant your show is about to get canceled.
I have no idea. I just walk around the building.
Of course you do.
You just happen to wander over here.
Usually they add more songs. Yeah.
Eight songs an hour, and they've got one more full-time person on the mic than we do.
Well, actually, our ratings are pretty good, so hey,
listen, Jay-Z's songs, obviously, but everyone wants to hear them.
No, we don't play Jay-Z. Drake, come on, get up on your side, brother.
Drake.
Get up on your knees.
Get up on your knees.
Well, Hottie, our bet is still on, believe me.
Which bet?
The one where I can outdrive you.
Okay.
Here we go.
Even though I hate golf, but I can still outdrive you.
We got a new place to do it. It's going to be awesome.
Okay, all right, sounds good. I'll let you three jabronis get back to talking sports the best way you can, which is no way at all.
Okay, Jermaine.
I mean, 1 hour, 11 minutes is all it took.
First day.
And isn't it?
And
bird means the middle finger, we learned this morning.
Oh, that's right. I've forgotten.
It is ironic that we were just doing a bit about someone who had a hard time speaking. There he goes back to sit and wait for him to be pointed at once every 45 minutes.
You may not believe this. Wiggy was actually just reading from a prepared statement.
All right, well, it finally happened. He triggered the alarm.
I can't wait till he comes in here with Fred's here alone.
And just walked right in.
Yeah.
Without an invite, just, hey, I'm coming in. I told you.
Yeah.
There you go. So,
all right.
Why do I have a feeling that's not going to be the only time today we're going to have to trigger that alarm? we might have two more before the end of the show.
No, no, the hell you say.
We might have two more.
Oh, then we're not that lucky.
All right, well, we will...
Go home. We're done.
I know.
I'm going to give you it's called the bird if you haven't heard of one of those before. Wow. Unreal what we're learning this morning from Jermaine Wiggins.
I need like an old, you know, like dorky white dude to cool guy translator for this stuff. I don't know what he's talking about. What does he mean?
I gave him the Eugene Levy face.
It's really a shame.
It's
really a shame we weren't on TV. The whole wigs out thing. He's got to perpetuate that, to drive people to his social media.
Without a doubt. All right, 617-779-0985. Let's get to the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason. Tiger Home Inspector.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. The Darkness, by the way. They are not a one-hit wonder. Maybe one hit. but their last two albums are unbelievable. One hit, but they write great, great songs.
Okay.
Their last few albums are amazing. They have a song, they have a song called Japanese Prisoner of Love that might have the most ridiculous lyrics of any song I've heard, and some of the best guitar, like, they're like legitimate great songwriters. Like, they write pop songs.
Yeah.
But their lyrics are all absolutely ridiculous. You got it. Their new album is phenomenal. I saw them in concert just recently when they came, but there you go, The Darkness. So a guy who is a big fan of The Darkness and also Greta Van Fleet, which if you say that apparently pisses off Jim Murray to no end. He can't stand that band because he thinks...
Greta Van Fleet?
Yeah, you know, the Zeppelin knockoff band?
They're a tiny bit derivative.
Yeah, but see, my whole thing is that if you're ripping off a band that's been gone for, what, like 35 years? Like, they haven't played together in what, like since the late mid-70s? However long, it's almost,
I know,
40
but
years?
It's like saying the same thing. It's like a guy who's going to sound just like Elvis. Oh, let me be your cuddly bear.
I think
I made it my own. I did a different type of song.
I mean, the kids, because they're like 20 or something like that. They're super young. The people in that band were never alive when Led Zeppelin was touring. They probably were never even alive when like Page and Plant did their reunion
thing.
But they've
obviously listened to a lot of Led Zeppelin.
They haven't, and I think it's fair game at that point. It's fair game. If a band's been like out of they've been out of commission for that long, it's fair game to rip off that band. It is. It's a whole new generation. Now, if you go up and deny that you sound like them, then that's a completely different story, and apparently that's why Jim Murray hates them. But Jeff Allen's a big fan of them. He is a Patriots beat writer for TheAthletic.com. He joins us on the AT&T Expert Hotline. What's up, Jeff Howe? How are you doing?
Hey, guys. Another great introduction. Thank you.
As always. You always get a good one when you're on our show. What's going on with Malcolm Mitchell? That was an interesting day as far as the story that was leaking out. First, you heard that he was there was a potential trade, and now you're hearing about surgeries. What's the latest on his situation?
Yeah, I mean, these are types of signs that come out really toward the end of a player's tenure with their team. So I'd be very surprised if he were on the roster, post September 1st and those roster cuts. I mean, they were shopping him to several teams at least. I know that they were rejected when they asked for a 7th-round pick for him. So I'm curious if the tenor of those negotiations then turned toward like a player for player. Like, who knows? Maybe there was another team that had a surplus, and I'm just throwing something against the wall here. Maybe there was a team that had a surplus of linebackers. Maybe there was an injured guy. You know, sort of like a fair trade, you know, injured good for injured good, just see if a change of scenery can happen. Who knows? I think that's probably the best case scenario for that type of a trade. But given the news yesterday that he had some type of knee procedure, you wonder if a trade is even possible to execute because of the medical issues. So this was something where earlier in the offseason, I think they even considered the possibility that they'd have to let Malcolm Mitchell go. I saw Mark Daniels yesterday report that they were discussing an injury settlement with him or the possibility of that. So, again, these are all signs towards something coming to a head here, you know, very quickly. And really what it came down to was, I mean, they gave this guy almost an entire year off last season. And it was a setback after setback after setback, and they didn't want to push him. And it was all gearing toward this season, and they were so optimistic about the offseason that he had the first several weeks of the offseason workout program, and they were so optimistic about the start of OTAs, and he went out there on day one of OTAs, and that was the last time that he was able to practice because the knee wasn't right. And I think when that happened, that was when the light turned on, and they said, you know, not that they were banking on Malcolm Mitchell to have a huge year or anything like that. It was just hope. But when he couldn't come out there for day two of OTAs, I think that was when it was the hard reality set in.
So where does this leave the Patriots in the receiving corps? Because the initial report, I thought it was oddly worded that he may be the odd man out in New England, even with Julian Edelman's suspension. Even before this, I was thinking, well, with Edelman suspended, with Danny Amendola gone, they seemed a little thin at receiver to begin with.
Well, again, I don't think they were looking at this and counting on Malcolm Mitchell to be productive, because you're not going to, I mean, it'd be dangerous to do that with a guy with that much injury history and such a short career to say, you know what, can pencil this guy in for 60 catches this year. I really think they were looking at Malcolm Mitchell and saying, anything he does is a bonus. And hopefully he can clear that medical hurdle, but they're not going to bank on it. So, you know, look, I think Jordan Matthews is as close to a roster lock as you can have among that second-tier receivers. Kenny Britt, I honestly didn't have huge expectations for him in the spring, but he blew me away. And I thought what I saw on the field was way more than I expected to see. And we'll see how quickly he can adjust to the playbook. And not that he's a new guy or anything like that, but his tenure hasn't been overly prolonged with the Patriots. So we'll see how the chemistry with Tom Brady continues to shape up over the next month. But he's a guy who I think is on the inside of the cut line at this point. And who knows with Philip Dorsett? I mean, I've been telling you guys for a year at this point almost that the coaches love him and everybody loves him, but we just haven't seen it translate on the field, you know, with any consistency in game action. So we'll see what if he can kind of break through. But he did himself, I think, this is another reality check here. He was due a $450,000 roster bonus on this coming Sunday, and he renegotiated his deal earlier in the offseason, and it's now $150,000 roster bonus. So I think that was a smart play on his behalf, because if they owed him $450,000 on Sunday, it would have been a make or break type of week for him. And at least now he gets about 5 weeks of camp to prove that he can improve upon last year.
All right. Well, Jeff, now that your vacation is pretty much over, if you actually had one during the summer, vacation is over. Training camp's just about set to get underway. Biggest issue surrounding this team right now is who's going to be the left tackle. So I ask you, as we enter training camp, who's going to be the left tackle on this team?
Well, it's almost like a coin flip for me still, because the two candidates were coming off a shoulder surgery. So we haven't really seen them. Not that you really learn a whole heck of a lot during non-padded, non-contact practices in the spring, but it's coming down to Trent Brown and Isaiah Wynn. And I strongly believe Isaiah Wynn is going to start. It's either going to be at left tackle or left guard. So if it's a left guard, Trent Brown is almost certainly going to be the left tackle. If Isaiah Wynn starts at left tackle, then I think you got Joe Tooney as the left guard. And then Trent Brown is your top swing tackle behind Wynn and Marcus Cannon. So I think there's a lot of wild cards here. I mean, do you look at Isaiah Wynn and, I mean, basically you got to figure out what your best combination is in order to get your five best linemen on the field there. I mean, center, right guard, and right tackle are set. So is it better to have Wynn and Tooney, or is it better to have Brown and Wynn on that left side? Then you kind of got to project a little bit, too. I mean, I don't even know if this is like a major concern, but maybe it's something they got to consider. You know, if you look at Isaiah Wynn as your left tackle from 2019 until the foreseeable future, would starting him at left guard this year in any way stunt that, you know, that projection or that growth that he can have? You know, probably not. But again, it's something that you got to consider. Some guys just can't flip positions as easily. Although Isaiah Wynn has really been able to play all five positions in the offensive line since his days at Georgia. So this is a versatile player. It's just, is he an NFL-ready left tackle right now? And then can Trent Brown make the switch, because he was predominantly a right tackle in San Francisco? Can he make the switch to the left side? So that's why I can't sit here and say, all right, it's definitely going to be this guy, because there are question marks, and both guys are coming off a similar surgery.
Okay, Jeff. We're talking to Jeff Howe from The Athletic. There was a part of this article that came out in Bleacher Report about Jimmy Garoppolo that stood out, and it was strange, and it said, because the Patriots prevented reporters from talking to Garoppolo's family and friends, the perception of the San Francisco 49ers star has been shared by assumptions, infatuations, and the scarce public information known about him. Did the Patriots tell you guys that you weren't allowed to speak to family members of players?
Not necessarily. I think that can be interpreted a couple different ways. They don't really want, they're not going to facilitate those interviews, I think is probably how it should have been worded. And every type of situation is different. I mean, I've talked to family members of, I can't even tell you how many different players, but it doesn't mean you just usually have to go through different avenues. So it's not like they're completely off limits. I mean, that's not how the business works, but there's not like a rule. You're not, I mean, if you go out and you interview a family, I've never, not a single time, got any pushback or any eye rolls or anybody calling me up saying, hey, why'd you talk to so-and-so's family member? So no, it's not a rule. It's just, I think if you want the team to set you up with that interview, you're probably, you know, not going to get as much help.
What reporter is going to ask the Patriots if they can interview a family member of a player? Like, wouldn't you just go straight to the family member?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
it seems like a strange thing to put in the article. It seemed extremely odd. I was like, wow, they're really ball busters down there. They could take away your badge if, you know, because God knows, as we were saying earlier, everyone's talked to every Gronkowski that's been born and reported stuff on that. So it stood out to me as being a very strange addition to the article there. Another thing that was in there is that it all but essentially confirmed what you guys have been reporting for a while, or at least what has been rumored for a while, and that is that Belichick had a better offer from the Browns for Jimmy Garoppolo, multiple high-round draft picks, as opposed to the second-round single draft pick that they got for Jimmy Garoppolo. Why do you think, Jeff, that Bill Belichick took a weaker offer in order to trade him to the 49ers?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. And it's still sort of tough to answer without knowing what the multiple high-round picks were. And I think, if memory serves, I think Ian Rappaport, several months back, might have said it was a 2 and a 3. And if that's the case, then, you know, that's a fair amount of a haul that Belichick kind of turned down. And, you know, you're not obviously putting a first-round pick on the board there. I mean, if you turn down a first-round pick for a second-rounder, then you really got to question what's going on. But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some spite toward the Cleveland organization, and I think there's been some reports about how difficult it has been to deal with Cleveland in terms of trades, so maybe that had some carryover. Of course, with everything that happened with Belichick in Cleveland in the 90s, I know it's a different organization now, but, you know, the memories are still there. And getting him out of the conference. So, I mean, it's going to take a whole heck of a lot more than Jimmy Garoppolo. It's going to take a miracle or 12 to get the Cleveland Browns into contention. But you still don't want that. You know, these things do happen in the NFL. Teams do kind of rise from the darkness quickly. And, you know, you don't want a situation where all of a sudden Jimmy Garoppolo turns that thing around a whole lot quicker than you expected. And now they're among your chief competition toward Brady's latter years. So, again, I think all of that could come into play. But if that's assuming it's a 2 and a 3, then I can see it. If there was anything more, if there were multiple 2s or whatever it is, then, you know, again, it's certainly fair to question that decision.
All right, Jeff. So are you going to be the first one to ask Bill Belichick tomorrow, why was Malcolm Butler benched?
Yeah, I'm already there. I'm in the front seat, and I'm just waiting with it. I got a postcard or a poster board here.
It'll spill all the beans. It'll give you everything you need to know tomorrow at the press conference.
That was the hidden secret. He said, guys, I'm not going to answer it for the next 6 months, but that day one of training camp, I'll have the answer. I'm
out. That's right. Well, at least you know what? I do hope that at least there's an attempt, just so I can hear him completely dismiss it, because God knows that's what we love to hear sometimes when he plays these gladiator games with legitimate questions. It should be fun tomorrow. And I'm sure you're looking forward to another full season of that, Jeff Howe. That should be great. So
can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait. All right. Well, Jeff, great having you on. We'll keep in touch most this season, and obviously love reading your stuff on The Athletic. TheAthletic.com. You can see it's definitely worth subscribing to. You can read Jeff Howe's stuff. He's the Patriots beat writer there. We'll talk to you soon, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Jeff. All right, here's John Walk with headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Hardy, you can confirm this, right? Like, somebody was out in the hall yelling, "Yo, Rich," super loud.
That was Dan, I thought.
Was that you? Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't know where you were.
I don't know where the studios are. I don't know where you go during the break. Oh. So I honestly looked at the clock and I'm like, "Where's Rich?" Because I used to have an intercom for you, right? Remember?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know where you are. So I yelled.
No. I thought for some reason it was somebody who visited us like earlier in the hour. And I'm like, I'm getting back.
Excuse.
No. And I'm like, I'm getting back into the studio. I don't want. We already had one encounter with him. We already had to set off the alarm once. But now I guarantee you we're going to have to set it off at least one more time before the end of the show.
Without question.
No.
Before the end of this show today, yep. No, I'll take the under on that. I say no.
I think that was it. I think he's been in. He's done. Maybe he'll come in tomorrow, but no, he's not coming back in today.
No way. I've never been more confident about anything that he's going to come back.
He's not coming back in today.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Nope. I'm with you, Hardy.
That dude loves to be talked about. He loves to be loved.
He loves him some Jermaine Wiggins. Yeah, he does. But I'm telling you, he's not coming back in.
But as much as he wants the attention, he's also very lazy. And once he sits down in that
requires
chair,
a 80-foot walk from one studio to the other.
Right. Now, did he look like a walking, talking Patriots pro shop today?
No. He just had the Nike shirt on. He didn't have Patriots.
Because usually every time I see him, it's either Celtics or it is he looks like basically the pro shop vomited all over him. It's usually one of the two. All right. So a minute ago, we'll get back to this real quick. Ryan Lochte, who of course is a absolute brain trust.
Yeah, of course.
He ended up doing the ultimate self-own, and that is that he was suspended for taking something intravenously, and it ends up that the reason he was busted doing that was because he posted a picture of himself doing it on his own Instagram.
Lochte for president.
So he ended up being, it was 14 months he was suspended for?
Yes.
And I guess he was just supposed to have another big swim competition, which honestly, who cares if it's not the Olympics?
Yeah, suspended from what? Big swim meet?
In fairness.
Who cares?
From making money. That's what he does for a living. You know, that's how he makes his money. So it's probably not the best thing for him.
My guess is that somebody who is a professional swimmer, and I don't even know that he is. Mm-hmm. I don't know that you can go swim meets for money.
Right.
But even if you could, my guess is that whatever money he's making is through appearances and endorsements.
You would think so. You would think so. Okay. Yes. So here is a statement that he was reading. Somebody wrote his statement and he had to read it out loud, which was a bad idea in the first place. kind of start it from the middle there, if you don't mind. Or you can start from the beginning. This is the statement. We never got to finish it. Ryan Lochte attempting to read, and obviously it goes exactly the way that you would think it would. Danny, got it?
On May 24th, 2018, I, along with my wife, Kayla, went to the doctor's office in Gainesville, Florida, where we received an IV infusion consisting of vitamins and including B12. There was no prohibited substances in the infusion. I received an inquiry from the United States Anti-Doping Agency about what was in the IV. I fully cooperated with their request. What I did not know was that even though I wasn't taking anything that was banned substances from WADA, which is a World Anti-Doping Agency, and there was nothing that I was taking that was prohibited on the list. Although,
University of Florida graduate.
Well, I mean, that says everything, doesn't it?
Class of 2007.
Yes. Yeah. Although, as bad as this is, it's not the worst read that I've heard a celebrity try to make.
Oh, no.
That would be...
I know where you're going with this. a certain fighter that makes a lot of money?
I think the crown has to go to the highest paid athlete, I believe, in the world.
And that would be $250 million last year?
Yeah, that would be Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. And Floyd Mayweather came in one time and had to he was at a radio station. The radio station said, all right, there's this thing that we're doing, and could you read this PSA? For PSA is like a public service type thing. Would you mind reading that? And here's what Floyd Mayweather did when they had him read this PSA.
I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show. Your Stripes movement to support hiring vets. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show, Your Stripes movement to support. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show, Your Stripes movement to support hiring vets. Go to the show, yourstripes.org. go to the show, yourstripes.org. Go to show your stripes. Go to showyourstripes.org.
There it is.
Got it. Nailed
it.
Go to showyourstripes.org. A website that connects veterans with employees and helps businesses. Okay. The website that connects veterans with employers and helps businesses find candidates with the best training. I'm Floyd Mayweather, and I've joined Heart Radio for the show. Your Stripes Movement to support higher investment.
Okay, that's enough, okay. Guys.
I think that just finally cut him off there.
What's wrong with that?
Well, listen, Lochte, are you officially off the hook? Okay, I would think so, as far as being one of the worst reads.
That's one where, as a producer, as the guy like running the board, you take the paper away from him, yeah, and you say, just repeat after me. Hi, I'm Floyd Mayweather.
Mm-hmm.
And say, join iHeartRadio for
Floyd Mayweather.
Join iHeartRadio for the Show Your Stripes
movement. Or you're sitting there as the producer going, this commercial will be my masterpiece. Yeah. I will take this 10 minutes of audio and make the best 15 seconds you have ever heard, and it will sound flawless. 617-779-0985. We've got a lot to get to. There has been some strange happenings as of late that we need to address, and we will talk to that in just a minute.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. This is from the never released Rush Nintendo game back in the day.
What was the concept of this game again?
This would be to scare away every woman and clear the arena of anything with a vagina.
I've seen that in person. Remember we all went to the Rush concert?
Yeah.
Together?
Didn't I do that bit, you're a woman, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And it was like ridiculously hard to find.
I believe you did do it that night. Yes, that was at the Garden. I remember that.
That's like going to like the upcoming Phil Collins show and playing "You're Not White." What are you doing here? But I don't think I've ever been to any event. I mean, there was one that I've been to that had less women at, or just like you look at the ratio of sure, men to women. The only concert I've been to that had less women than Rush, as far as just like by the ratio, had to be Slayer. Slayer's the only one, but that's understandable. Slayer was just like convicts. There was convicts who never left their house except just to go to Slayer and kill each other. There was a guy at the Slayer show who had a giant back tattoo that was Jesus with a clown nose. And I remember just thinking, all right, so let's say everything kind of pans out the way that, you know, the Bible is, where you go up to heaven and there's St. Peter watching there. He's probably looking through the book and he looks at this guy and he goes, all right, well, you know, you did a couple bad things, but all that being said, you seem to live a pretty good life. And as he's walking through the gates, he turns around, he's like, oh, okay, hang on, come on, back. Maybe not so fast. And then presses a button and the trap door opens and there's the guy on the deviled ham cam who's waiting for him and with the big pitchfork. But yeah, I would say that is the... that is the worst male to female ratio. Like, you might as well just, you know, they have a Contraflow for, you know, when you go to Foxborough, everyone's leaving. They should do like a Contraflow bathroom situation where just take the women's bathroom and turn them all into men's stalls. Like, have there be like literally right, one porta potty they bring in and just put it right in the middle of the TD Garden, and just any woman can use it because.
And the spotlight when she goes there.
Right. Like,
there she is.
Gift. But you win a gift if you're a woman and you actually right, go to the Rush show. All right. Well, 617-779-0985. Are you a member of a gym, John?
Yes.
How about you, Hardy?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, but you have indeed been in a gym before, correct?
A couple of times, sure.
All right. I gander that if you have been a member of a gym for at least more than a year, you've seen something outright ridiculous. I mean, it seems that maybe it's just the ones that I go to where there's something extremely odd happening. There's strange noises being made. There's people puking into buckets. But there was a situation that happened in New Hampshire that made the news, which is one of my all-time favorite gym stories. And if you've ever seen something strange happen in a gym, we'll talk about that as well. 617-779-0985.